D-H-Z, go! I used to say I'm the boss. They've hit at the most. They're doing real good, yeah. I would say they're the boss. They bring real information. If you don't know, I'm Set Nation. Dropping knowledge on the daily. Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real. D-H-Z, know what's popping in the field. These boys bring it on real. What's popping in the field.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Tomas Mauricio,
yeah.
Keith Elsenson, and your host, David Romero.
Yeah.
Yeah. B's and B-boys. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
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 Saints.
That's right.
B's and B-boys.
B's and B-boys.
I love this book.
He loves a podcast, Tomas.
There you go. What Everybody you loves a podcast.
I don't even know this guy. I think he's from South Africa somewhere, and he loves it. International.
There you go. Yeah. I was just getting ready to say international.
Heath, how you doing today,
I'm
my
doing
friend?
Good, man. How are you?
Yeah, you over the loss yet? How you feeling? Are you recovering?
Yeah, I'm over it.
Yeah.
I'm done with that.
Tomas?
I'm over it, brother.
Yeah.
Moving on.
All right. Yeah, me too. You know what?
I just lowered expectations, you know. Move on.
I think that's what I said. I think that's what I said last week was just, or Monday actually was just, hey, kind of is what I expected them to be. The only thing is that, man, the injuries just keep mounting up. I don't know, man. Is it bad luck? Speaking of injuries, there's a little news about Keenan Lewis out. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. What's that?
We'll talk about it in a.
Oh, we'll talk about it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's learning now about
yeah.
the team.
Yeah.
All right. You're picking it up. Okay. All right.
So we were just talking a little bit about the about Pick'em, trying to figure out, you know, listen, this is the first time we've done it with this software.
Yeah.
Is, you know, how does it work exactly? We're not sure. The with the point spread, like, you know, is it, you know,
I'm assuming you get locked in at whatever the points are when you make the pick.
You push the save button.
Yeah, I would hope that's the way it works, but I guess I don't really know.
And then we were talking about, well, what happens if the spread goes up or down? You know, you can always go back in and change it.
I guess it changed to whatever it is when you make a change.
Yeah,
you know?
So if you make your picks on Tuesday, hypothetically, because you just want to get it done.
Yeah.
Then you turn around and you don't change them, then you don't get the benefit of the line move on. So it's something we're going to keep our eye on. If anybody out there has an idea, maybe you've played one of these Yahoos before, you want to send us an email. Maybe you might even want to call us on the graffiti hotline.
And what's that number again?
Well, let me tell you, Tomas.
It has a lot of sevens, I know.
You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
857-957-1997. That's the graffiti hotline. Give us a call. Let us know what you think. Thoughts, concerns, anything that you think might be interesting on the show. You can always complain about Tomas and his attitude. I tell you what, I don't know if this is an appropriate.
My attitude?
I don't know if this is an appropriate thing to even bring up, but I sent y'all a text. Y'all didn't reply to it. I listened to the podcast, and I know he's not a fan favorite, so I might be pandering a little bit here, but Holder and Duncan.
I did respond.
Did you?
To you.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know that. Now,
what's with your attitude, brother?
I'm telling you, like, I like to believe I keep it real. I like to believe that I'm going to call it the way I see it. And then I'm starting to realize that maybe there's different degrees of homerism. And I think I'm keeping it real.
Yeah.
But I listen to the show and I swear I want to shoot myself in the face. I was like, man, it's the that chat podcast with Holder and Duncan from the
Times. Shouldn't say their names, but go ahead.
You know what?
Was a little too negative.
I see these guys, but I mean, just man, everything they talked about, it was just like, oh yeah, this, that, and I mean, look, we made mistakes, and I'm trying to say, well, what's the difference between me and them? And it's like, I guess maybe just my mentality is, okay, well, we made a mistake, we'll overcome it, and we'll, this will happen or that will happen. And they were just like, oh, well, no, there's another bad pick. Oh, there's another bad signing. Oh, now we don't have the money. That was a waste of it. And I got finished, and I was just like, I just kept throwing up in my mouth. And I'm like, and I don't know, like, you know, and I'm not necessarily beating them up because what they're saying wasn't accurate. Because it was, but then it made me realize that.
Well, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. It wasn't accurate. Because, you know, I think one of the things that we differ in is that we favor our team, certainly, but we don't go backwards and say, well, you know, now we can be an armchair quarterback. That was a terrible pick. We should have never. At the time, if you will recall, if you just want to look at one, Spiller. When we signed Spiller,
I thought it was a great.
Everybody did. I'm quite certain we go back to all of these people on NOLA and Advocate and wherever else was out there at the time, and they're all like, "Oh, this is a great. Oh, this is great." You know, now you move forward and you say, "Oh, we should have never signed. Oh, we should." Well, it's easy to do. You know?
Right, right.
So that's what I would say would be a difference. We don't do that.
I agree. And well, one of the things that really it shines some light on something that I think that I'm going to kind of try to embrace in this podcast is that, like, this podcast is entertainment.
Yeah.
And there's nothing entertaining about listening to somebody just saying, "Oh, we're done, and that guy's terrible, and we'll never, we screwed up, and we don't have this, and we don't have that." And it's like, this is where I separate from being where I am a fan. And sometimes not completely objective, because while I can sit here and say that signing was bad or we wasted money on this, and I might even complain about the coach or complain about Mickey Loomis, I still believe that there's, like, I don't look at it as like, well, it's the end of the world, or I shouldn't say end of the world, that's an exaggeration, but that it's means that the team, like, you can't overcome that, it just destroyed the team, you know. And that's the feeling I got when I got finished listening to that podcast, which just everything. And then what's funny, twice on two separate occasions say, "Well, let's look at the positive of this." And they say, "Well, the offense played pretty well, blah 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 blah, well, then they got Pete and Pete can't block, and we got him at 13, that was a waste of it." And I'm just like, oh my god, even the most successful thing that happened, they would just sat there and dwelled on a negative.
Yeah,
okay, yeah, sometimes you need to talk about it, but at the end of the day, I kind of feel like, look, this is for entertainment. And, you know, it's not entertaining listening to how bad you're going to be constantly. Yeah, point
right.
it out, talk about it, move on. But to sit there and dwell the entire, it seemed like the entire podcast was just so negative. So, it made me realize I don't want to be like that. So I'm going to be more aware of, and I don't think I am, but again, the way you perceive yourself and the way others perceive you, two different things. So I tell you what, unless you have some thoughts on that, I'm going to move on to our graffiti hotline. We talked about it. We gave the number out. The number 857-957-1997, and we have no graffiti calls. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw a BF fit on here. It's a B fit. Bitch fit. You know, can I say that?
Yeah, sure.
Why not?
Man, come on. What are you doing? I did get an email because I accidentally uploaded the wrong file.
Yes. Well, I got texts about you putting the wrong file.
Yeah.
On.
So somebody emailed
me. Not texts,
me.
I mean Twitters. You know?
And I have my phone. I don't have my phone with me, and I should give my friend props for sending me this this message and let me know. So I jumped out of bed and went and fixed it. And I appreciate you guys. And he said, "Hey, I'm gonna give you a call on the hotline," and we haven't gotten that call yet. But guys, listen, help us out, participate, have some fun with us, give us a call on the hotline. Some questions. I think I'm gonna make this a Thursday thing.
Okay.
All right. So, how many weeks before Stephon Anthony is no longer considered the starter?
One week. He didn't start last week.
No, he did.
He didn't.
He was in there for the first play.
No, I don't think he was.
No.
I don't think
so.
Hey,
good job with that prediction.
Yeah.
You know what?
And you're right. It was just, you know, a couple more snaps than Anthony had. It was 23-13, to be more precise.
Yeah.
So I call that more than a couple more.
I watched the game
look,
again today.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Anthony made one play, and he was lined up not where you would traditionally think a strong side linebacker would line up, kind of, you know, over a tight end, close to the line of scrimmage. He was kind of lined up more like a will. He was, you know, 5 yards off the line of scrimmage, cuts through in there, makes a tackle for like a 4-yard loss, and I'm just like, man, I wish I knew what was going on, because
yeah.
He seems to have all the talent. Okay, it obviously feels like he is supposed to, or that he's young and he's not really getting it mentally, but man, he keeps making these plays that make you just say, why isn't he getting more snaps? So
I don't know.
Go ahead.
I guess my initial thought when I saw the game and after the game was that, well, maybe he's still not completely back from the injury that he had during preseason, right? Because I remember actually being surprised to see him in, was it the third or fourth?
Game.
Preseason game, he actually made an appearance again when I wasn't expecting him to be back till the first week. So then at that point I went, well, you know, obviously he must be further along than what we thought. And then, you know, I don't have any other explanation for why Marty is playing more snaps than Anthony other than it has something to do with an injury.
I think it might be because you just brought up the example. Playing middle linebacker, you're much further off the line. Playing strong side, playing the Sam, you're 1 yard away.
Completely different position.
And so you saw that when he backed away, it gave him more time to make the read and to get his motor running, so he flashed in there. When you're 1 yard away, and you know because we watch this all the time, you get chipped by whoever is going to come out at you. You can't really get that momentum going. He's got to learn that position.
Yeah.
And well, so I think that that's the real issue. I think he's still learning that position. He's still used to being further off the line.
Sure.
And that gives him that space to accelerate, where being 1 yard off the line, he doesn't have that same acceleration.
I agree, and it's easier to read the plays and whatnot. And I guess, okay, here's the hopeful, wishful thinking, is that he still is the heir apparent to that middle linebacker spot. It's just going to take him a little bit longer mentally to adjust. And I don't know, Heath, you looking up?
No? Well, no, in looking at some of the grading that's been done on the players from the past game, I was actually, I don't know if I want to say surprised. I guess I was a little surprised that the worst position group averaged out across the grading was the linebacker group. Mm-hmm. Robertson, oddly, was really strong against the run and was horrible against the pass.
Yep.
Laurinaitis was just pretty much bad, period.
Yeah. Yep.
Anthony,
but he
in
got
what
everybody
snaps
lined
he,
up in the right spot, though.
Maybe.
I'm joking. Yeah.
In what snaps Anthony had, he graded out higher than Marty did. So, you know, so maybe Anthony should be playing in front of Marty. If Laurinaitis, we'll see what happens with him. But if he doesn't start looking a whole lot better, maybe Anthony should have just still been starting at middle linebacker. I mean, you know, at this point, I don't know, but.
Well, I tell you what. What we're going to do is we're going to take a break, and I tell you what, I don't know if, you know, after all the things that went on with Carolina, there's been a lot of talk about the hits to the head that old Cam Newton
poor,
took.
Poor little Cammy took.
Yeah, I was at the press conference, and I got a little things didn't seem right. Here, take all a listen right, to this.
Cam, can you tell us how you're feeling today after taking all those vicious hits during the game?
Yeah, I haven't had an opportunity to see any others, but looking forward to, and also just the overall, led by.
Cam, you seem a little disoriented. Do you even know why you're here today?
You know, my job is, you know, that's why I'm here. That's why everybody is in for my focus right now, because I'm the referee.
Cam, did you say you were the referee?
Well, I can't mourn or can't dwell on things that happened, you know.
Cam, have you been doing drugs?
I feel as if, you know, led by, it's been times that I've been taking hits, but that's understandable.
Cam, hits of what?
You know, the type of hits that I'm taking, and also just the overall. I haven't had an opportunity to see any others, but looking forward to.
Okay, is it me or does he seem just a little bit disoriented?
Yeah,
there?
He seems a little bit off.
And
there.
I don't know why the NFL's not getting involved. It seemed like there's a little drug issue going on. I'm not, listen, I'm just asking the questions.
Yeah.
Just trying to find out what's going on, but there's a lot of complaining about about the concussion stuff, and and quite frankly, after listening to that clip, I can see what his point might be. Might have taken one too many to the head.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. So we're going to hit our first break. It's a bonus coverage SEC Sports Pub here. Next we can get to some Saints previews and some news and even the NFC South update. So we'll be right back.
This your captain speaking. We're cruising at an altitude about 35,000 feet and be reaching Louis Armstrong New Orleans International Airport about 2100 local time. Here at BS&B Airlines, we realize you have other options and we want to thank you for joining us today. So please sit back, relax, and again, thank you for flying BS&B Airlines.
Mission says we have done well, that we are an effective team.
Thank you. Thank you. And now, it's time for the bonus round, where you play in front of dozens of people for tens of dollars. Tomas, yes. Heath, Dave, are you ready?
Yes!
Let's play BS and Beer Podcast.
Are you ready?
That's right, it's the bonus covered BS and Beer here at the SEC Sports Pub. About an hour before kickoff. What time's the game? Come on, is it 8:30?
8:30.
So we got about an hour to go. We still got a lot of Saints news to cover. We got some NFC South stuff we want to talk about. And then, of course, the reason we show up, the pick'ems. That's what we're here for.
Is that why we show up?
That's why I show up. And, of course, okay, I got to tell y'all something funny. I'm not scared or shy to share stories about how stupid I am. So, okay, I'm not going to ever say that I thought the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Lock of the Week was an original thing that I thought up. But there used to be this guy when I was in my 20s named Papa Joe Chevalier. Do you ever hear of him? From me. I thought he was great. And I thought that's where I got this from. So this morning, I turn on the TV, and I'm watching Mike and Mike.
Okay.
And realized, not only did I steal it, but I stole it from people who are doing it on ESPN today. You know, so nothing original about the Stone. The only difference is the enthusiasm with which I embrace the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Lock of the Week. So I'm just going to embrace I stole it. Nothing I do is original anyway. Maybe a couple of little things.
Yeah.
But other than that, so hey, I'm not even going to be embarrassed about it. Thank you, Mike and Mike, for sharing with me your Stone Cold Lead Pipe Lock of the Week.
There you go.
Well, maybe you're making a reference to wrestling where they're not.
No, you know what? I'm not sure.
Because it could be Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Right. But yeah, that's what it is.
Be careful embracing the lead pipe, though. That can be.
Oh, I like how that Heath brought that right up there. Huh?
See, that's why we keep him around, just once or twice a show. Here's the difference, though. As he comes out of his shell, he used to say that off the air. And I'm like, why didn't you say that? He's getting stronger. He's getting stronger about it. Hey, okay, so, you know, prior to the break, we talked about Keenan Lewis.
Yeah.
He had hip surgery in the last couple of days. He's rehabbing.
Wow. Imagine that.
Well, so apparently it's not because of something that happened between him and Dennis Allen. What was it? Like when he was, before he got drafted.
Before he got drafted, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like you haven't heard about that, right?
No.
So Keenan Lewis, there was reports or, well, you know, a
when he, when
thing.
He left, when the Saints let him go.
Yeah, I know he said something about the.
He made a reference that
Dennis Allen told him that he wasn't going to make it.
He wasn't going to make it. Yeah, okay. You're not going to make it, kid.
And then when Dennis Allen got hired up by the Saints, he went up to him and just in a defensive manner, he just said, hey, you know what? I'm still here.
Kind of thing. And then it made it out to be that was part of the riff that may have led to. And obviously that was more media speculation than anything. But anyway, so it kind of says a lot.
And look, he's showing Dennis Allen now.
Now, there were a lot of people who said, and I didn't say it. I did think it, though. I can't lie. I did think it. Like, hey, what? You know, people said, well, what about signing Keenan Lewis? And I thought to myself, well, is he healthy? I mean, nobody else has signed him yet.
Right.
And then this comes out, and then you're like, oh, well, go there. There goes that idea.
Well, you knew there was something there. When he went back to Pittsburgh, which is where, you know, he started to make his mark in the NFL.
Right.
So they know him there. Mm-hmm. And he went over there, and he was like, no, you're not healthy enough to help us. So you knew there was some issue. And that's really the bottom line. The Saints, just, you know, as we've seen other experiences here, it gets to a numbers game. Hey, you know what? We need healthy players that can contribute now. We're not going to carry you on the roster forever. And Coach Payton even said that. Hey, you know, he's had more than a year and he's not back. Now, to me, it boils down to he probably took some bad advice. He probably should have had this surgery a long time ago, got some advice that said, don't do it, and now he's going to have to do it. So, okay. Will he come back from this? Don't know. But it won't be this year.
Right.
So there you go.
Well, so he's obviously not going to help the Saints. He's not going to help anybody this year.
And, I don't think
so. You know what? There was that little bit, and this back to the whole fandom thing and just wishful thinking, is that okay, does this mean that you just a glimmer of hope that maybe somebody can come in and save the day? Now, not to say that Paul Kruger was, especially in the first week, was any type of savior, but when he was released, you could easily make the argument that, you know, hey, man, this guy actually can play. He still has this. He has so many pressures. He had this many sacks 2 years ago. And you think, hey, man, we got a great deal. And I thought, man, what if Keenan Lewis came back and after a little bit of time, he's healthy. And, that went out the window.
Yeah.
So moving on
yep.
to other things that are related to the Saints. Big news. Spiller was cut early this week. And,
yeah.
and like, while it surprised me, it didn't surprise me at all. And the only thing now is just trying to figure out, and I guess we could sit here and speculate because that's what we do.
Yeah.
Why in the world they gave him a signing bonus, or not a signing bonus, I'm sorry, a roster bonus.
Right.
A workout bonus. And in the offseason, I thought that because I was more impressed with him this preseason than I was with him all last season.
Right.
I thought to myself, maybe he needs to go. Save some cap money somehow or another. And they didn't. Then I watched him in preseason. I'm like, man, this guy looks like he's going to be a contributor. Looks like he could be a difference maker, an X factor. And when I say X factor, I mean because he was someone that I didn't necessarily expect to contribute a bunch. And now he looked like a video game. And then next thing you know, he's not on the active roster.
Yeah.
Then he gets cut. Tomas. Yep.
Well, I think we said this in the last podcast that it seemed to me that the reason I didn't play him was because maybe there was a trade brewing. And I think that really was what was happening.
Absolutely.
And as I texted you, I think what happened was they contacted a number of teams who said, you know what, we see the writing on the wall, you're going to have to cut him anyway, so why should we pay anything? So that was one part of it. I think another part of it is the bro injury. You know, I think that the Saints have determined that they put Rankins on the IR, and he's going to be the guy who's going to come back at the 8-week mark. They can only do that with one player. If they put Bro on the IR, that means he won't be back for this year, or Rankin. One of them won't be back. And I think the Saints felt that they wanted both of them back.
Right.
So now it becomes a question of Bro is going to have to remain on the active roster, which means you need a spot. Because if you're going to sign somebody to take Bro's place, you got to get rid of somebody. So when you look at it, what was the spot that we were all shocked at how many people they kept?
Right.
Running back.
Right.
You know? So we were all like, well, okay. So to me, it just came down to numbers. And from all the interviews that I have heard, I have to tell you that I believe that he left, Spiller left with no problems. Peyton.
He had nothing but good things to say.
Right. I mean, Peyton had nothing but good to say. Spiller had nothing to say. So now I'm going to throw this one out at you. If no one signs him, it wouldn't surprise me if the Saints find themselves in such a position as they say, you know, we need a different kind of running back. You have to remember who's backing who. When you look at the numbers that we have, who's our starter? Ingram. Okay. Who backs Ingram?
Hightower.
It's not Spiller.
No.
All right. So now we go to the other position. Who are the two that are these satellite backs? Well, that would be Cadet, Murphy, and Spiller. Well, they're not going to cut Murphy because he's special team. Lasco scored the highest of anybody on special team in the Raiders.
He was
game.
A beast. He was all yeah. over yeah. the place. Yeah.
So he's not going to get. So now you're down to it's either Cadet or Spiller. Who are you going to let go? And I think that at this point, I believe the coach felt, you know what, I can do more with Cadet than I can with Spiller. Now, I'm sorry, I don't happen to believe that.
I don't agree with
you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying to you what yeah. I perceive to be the right. process that they went through.
We can do enough with him for way less money.
Yeah, that's part of it, too.
You know,
but at the same time, you should have thought that through much earlier.
Well, you know, and we talked about this before. I don't know if the Saints could afford to cut.
No, and that, no. Yeah, that was yeah. something that yeah, I, you know. Was brought to my attention
yeah.
is
yeah.
that, okay,
yeah.
you cut a guy, and it actually cost you more because of the accelerated cap hit.
Right.
So you literally, until you signed Breeze to his new deal, you didn't have enough cap room to
right.
cut him.
Right, 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 right.
But, I speculated last week that I looked at Spiller and I saw some sourness on his face. It was just pure.
But it wasn't there. It really
no,
wasn't.
I felt, but obviously I was wrong because yeah. when he left, all he had to say was, Saints are a fantastic organization. They're a team that knows how they're. the bottom line is nothing but good things to say. Yeah. So I was obviously wrong, or he is the consummate professional.
Right. To say all the right things, almost, whether that's what he thinks or not.
I mean, I'm saying this, like, he thought that the Saints are terrible, but I am such a professional, which, you know, not to take anything away from him, very few people are that professional, especially in pro sports, where the egos and the are involved.
Right, right.
So my point being is that I don't understand the fact that it wasn't the problem with the attitude or anything like that. So
it just boiled down
the
numbers.
Just don't make that.
It just boiled down the numbers. That's all there is to it. Because if they didn't want to put bro on the IR, that's what it boils down to.
I agree with you. The only thing I'm saying is that I don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah.
If he wouldn't have said all the good things, I would say, oh, it was because he had a bad attitude and whatever. But he didn't. So I don't get it.
I actually think it goes back further than that. I think the fact that they kept six running backs should have been. We should have known right then that something was going on. That's the only reason they kept the six of them to begin with.
And Cadet got cut, which to me is like, okay, don't get me wrong. Cadet has been, over the last, four or five games he's played, he's been a good, solid player.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that he's better than Spiller. So that tells me there's something there that I'm not understanding. I don't get it. He obviously has a good attitude. He's more talented. He's more explosive. He's stronger. He's faster. He's everything better than Cadet, and maybe I'm off base. I accept the idea that maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. But
here's what I would say: if the Saints felt like Cadet could do 80% of what Spiller can do, and he makes a tenth of what Spiller does,
sure.
The other thing is Cadet contributes on special teams.
You know,
he can play on a coverage team. He can also return kicks and all. Now I know Spiller can. But I don't know that the Saints would ever really want to put Spiller out there and expose him to that.
But here's the thing:
any length of time,
if you're going to cut the guy, then why do you really care if he gets injured? And here's the thing:
because they were working a trade. See, that's why they didn't play.
That makes sense for week one. Hey, we're not going to put him out there because we might have a trade on the line, get something back for him.
And the same thing during preseason, they're showcasing him. We're all going, hey, that was a good move.
And
hey,
I even said he was playing in the third quarter, and that's why he had a sour look on his face. And I'm thinking, okay, that's not a good thing when a veteran, I don't want to say high price, but a well-priced, you know, he's making $4 million. He's playing in the third quarter. You know, that's kind of like saying, hey, man, you go over there and play with the second team, and it's kind of a little disrespectful. So that's why I felt
I think it was
they were showcasing
tape. They're getting tape on him. To show the other players and to show the other teams, they're shopping them. I mean, that's the bottom line, you know. I think the other teams were smart enough to say, "Well, it's nice. We might have an interest in them, but why should we give anything up? Because you're going to have to eventually cut them."
Okay.
And like I say to you, when the bro injury happened, I think that was when they said, "We only have one place to cut.
No,
we don't carry enough offensive linemen.
Good point.
Where
Tomas.
Are you going to cut?"
Yeah, that was a very good point, is that now you bro is out for 6 to 8 weeks. I didn't hear that officially. I'm just assuming, you know, it's six to eight weeks. And the thing is, it can't be the same level of injury that Rankins had. Rankins, you know, you pulled out the air cast. You pulled out. I have to imagine it bro's more of a fracture, not a break. Fair enough.
I mean,
I mean, think about it. He didn't get rolled up on, and he walked off the field.
But here's what I'm going to say to you. Now, you know,
he kept playing.
There are two bones in the lower calf. So now, is there just a fracture where the bones haven't completely separated, or is it a break where the bones have completely separated? Was it the thicker bone on the outside, or was it the thinner bone on the backside? See, they don't give you an explanation of what it is, you know? And same thing with Rankins. I don't know if it was a complete breakthrough or just the hairline fracture. But the way they described it, to me, it sounded like Rankins really didn't break his leg. It was more of a fracture kind of idea.
Okay.
Because they kept talking about air cast for the first 2 weeks. As soon as you see some unity there. Well, if you're talking unity, you're not talking like the bones were displaced.
Yeah, but they went in and put plates in, didn't they? That would describe an actual displacement.
I don't think we may not know.
I don't think we have enough details to say who's what.
There was a lot of speculation, and obviously, and I'm going based on the results that Rankin's injury was a little bit more serious than we were first led to believe, and that could just be the whole media, or not media, but team spin on it to just to try to keep. Because I tell you, I was at camp when he broke his leg.
Right.
I was driving home, and then I heard that, oh, well, it's not a, you know, he'll be back. And I was thinking, oh, man, the guy's going to be back by
week four. Until I texted you and told you he broke his freaking leg. Yeah,
well, you know, and so my point is that it is not beneath a team to leave the air of it's not as bad as you think it is.
So
I think that was kind of what happened. With Bro, I look at it and I just say it can't be that bad because it seems as though unless he went back in and broke it, that he was playing on it.
See, that's my concern. Now, you just brought up my concern.
Okay.
Because I think that I'm going to put the blame from what I see and from what I know at this point. I'm going to put the blame on our medical staff because he came out of the game. He was obviously hurt. They were there massaging him. I never saw, and I have not heard, that they took him back, they x-rayed it, and said, hey, you know what, it's okay. I never heard that.
No.
And I haven't read it anywhere. So to me, that's negligence on their part, because if he was already a partial fracture, if he had a crack in it, that would have come up on the x-ray, and then they would have said, okay, we can hold him out 2 or 3 weeks, and it'd be okay.
See, but Tomas, what you're implying is that a good massage won't fix a broken leg. And I, you know, I mean, based on what I saw, he got a nice massage.
Yeah.
No? All right, well, I'm just
okay,
saying.
It wasn't the Tokyo Parlor, okay?
Yeah. No happy ending. I mean.
You want happy ending?
Oh, you want the happy ending.
Look, Dave got so excited he dropped his clipboard.
My clipboard and my notes, all right. So now I'm winging it.
Yeah.
All right, so I'll tell you what. What we're going to do is we're going to go on to some Saints preview.
All right, Sam. How about a little Saints music for this segment here, see? All right, pal. Here's a little something for you and the kids, all right? Now scram, see? We got the Saints to talk about. All right, boys, let's get down to business.
All right, the Saints are playing the Giants this weekend. I mean, the last time they got together,
it's a shootout.
It was a shootout, and I have no reason to believe that it won't be the exact same thing this weekend. Heath.
Yeah, you know, man. I hope it's a shoot. I hope the Saints can keep up, I guess. You know, that's what I see when I look at this game. I know the Dome hasn't been the home field advantage that it has been in the past over the last season, certainly last year and maybe the last couple of seasons. But now you got to go to New York. You know, I know it's kind of an early weather forecast, but I think I read something about they're expecting bad weather. Saints have certainly never been known as a good bad weather team.
Some plottas.
I don't know. You know, I honestly can't sit here right now and say I know much about the Giants running game. But what I do know is that I would not have to want to rely on a Saints running game in a situation where you had bad weather and couldn't throw the ball. And, of course, you know, we just talked, I mean, the defensive backfield, the receivers that the Giants have, it's going to be a tall order.
Yep, there's a lot of with the injuries we have to our defensive backfield, it's going to definitely be a challenge. Tomas, your thoughts?
Well, you know, the Giants have spent a lot of money on defense, $200 million.
What'd you say?
$200 million worth of contracts. Yeah, spread out over time.
I mean, damn, that just the sound of that.
Yeah.
$200 million.
Yes, that's what they spent on players to bring into the fold for their defense. Now, were they good players? Were they good choices? Well, time will tell. But they certainly made a real effort to improve their defense. Now, having said that, can they cover our three wide receivers? I expect a lot of... We have Hill missing, but I'm expecting to see a lot of Manhurts in this particular game. I'm just giving you, you know, because
I'm not expecting him to do anything, but
I'm saying because I expect him to be in there chipping. That's my whole point.
Yeah.
Without Hill, we're going to have another. I don't expect Kuhn to be doing it. I expect Kuhn to be blocking for, especially if it's bad weather, for blocking for the running game. But I expect Manhurst to be in there. He's a big guy.
Or Lolito.
You know, Or Lolito, who today they were talking about how he feels very comfortable as the...
You know, they might switch him up to 80 number.
There you go.
Yeah.
Let's put in some work, son.
There you go. So, but I'm thinking it depends on the weather. I think that'll have an effect on the game. But I also think it depends on how fast the Saints start or don't.
Yeah.
I think that if the Saints go out there and match them, or the Saints go out there and take the lead, I think that'll mean a lot. But if they go out there and they fall behind by 14, it could be a long afternoon.
Yeah.
It's going to be a challenge if the weather's bad. But keep in mind, if I'm not mistaken, it's artificial turf. So it's not like
playing it's not gonna be a slop bowl.
Yeah, it's not going to be a slop bowl. Right, and look, it's going to be a challenge either way. New York, I did watch their game. I was not super impressed. And
they should have lost to Dallas, so that's okay.
Yeah, what I came away with was, with all the challenges the Saints have, okay, now I guess I got to take a step further back. Last year, as much as everyone wants to talk about our offense and we were top five, we were not a top five offense. We may have been top five in yardage, but not in productivity. We just simply were not very productive. We weren't very good in the red zone. This year, the offense is back. This is a very good offense. So now it puts us, despite the deficiencies on defense, we are now a team that can compete offensively. And I think that we're a middle-of-the-pack team. We can easily win this game, but we could just as easily lose this game because of Godly. It almost makes me sad. If we could have stayed healthy in the defensive backfield,
yep.
I feel like going from saying, hey, it's a toss-up, to saying, hey, we can match up with these guys. We got Keenan Lewis. We got Bro on another side. We got our third guy is P.J. Williams, who's looking good. And then behind him, you know, we have Harris and Crawley. And now
Swan.
You're looking at – and Swan. Oh, thank you, Swan. Yeah. Now it's kind of like, okay, we will give up yards in the passing game. It's just an inevitable fact that we have to embrace and accept. Having said that, unlike last year, despite all the yards – a lot of our yards came in times in junk time.
Slop time,
second half. Now we have an offense that can move the ball when they want to. The problem is they will give it up just as quickly. So it goes back to our schedule, and maybe I'm going too big picture here, but when we play a team like the Giants, who just simply, they're not that good. They're an average NFL team. I don't think they're bad. I don't think they're good. I don't think they could win one that they shouldn't and this, that, and the other and make the playoffs with 9 or 10 wins, but when it's all said and done, the Saints and the Giants are the same team. So it's a matter of the old cliches, turnovers.
Yeah.
Who makes most mistakes, penalties. The Saints will make plays offensively, whether it's raining or not raining. I think they will compete with the Giants offensively. But then here's my biggest fear, and I just love this analogy. They said last year the way the Saints – gave up passing yards, it was like they played the best quarterback, Tom Brady, let's say.
Yeah.
They played Tom Brady every
week.
Week,
yeah.
So if you look at a team, you say, man, oh, we playing, you know, Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers vaunted offense with all those receivers. That's a tough challenge. Oh, but this week we're playing Tampa Bay and their rookie quarterback and their receivers who are this, that. The problem is, no, the Tampa Bay's quarterback and receivers are every bit as good as the Patriots with Tom Brady because of the deficiencies in the Saints' pass defense. And that's what we're going to face the rest of the season until we get some bodies back healthy. And I guess the only body that we think could come back would be Bro, which might be 6 to 8 weeks. So my point being is that we can win this game, but we can easily lose it, but it will be a high-scoring affair. That's my thoughts on it.
Agreed. Well said. Ditto.
Monty, anything to add?
No.
He's not the best color man in the league for nothing, folks.
All right, we're going to head into our second and last break, and then we're going to come back for the pick segments. My favorite part of Thursday's show.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Are you ready, Tomas?
I'm ready.
Let's play BS and Pick'em Beer Podcast. All right, we'll be right back.
Hi. When my moderate to severe camotitis starts acting up, I find myself choking, saying completely stupid things, and dressing like Pee-wee Herman. That's why I use Camofed. Find out if your doctor thinks Camifed's right for you.
Ah, monsieur, I talked to you about the BS and beer. It's all very natural, no? Ah, sure, Mr. Internet Man. You listen to other podcasts, but not so good, no? Enough. You listen to BS and beer. Or a bon ton all over your face.
All right, welcome back to the SEC Sports Pub. You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio. Listen, we came up with something, and if we haven't really expressed this to you guys, our whole goal, man, we are fans of the game. We're fans of the Saints, and we want to interact with you guys, and I hope that you're enjoying the show. I hope you're sharing it with your friends. I came up with something else that helped. We have the graffiti hotline.
Yeah.
Hasn't been very popular, and I'm hoping that'll change, so I'm hanging on to that. But we came up with the BS and Beer Saints Podcast Forum. So all you have to do is go to www.thesecpub.com/podcast. That's our webpage. That's where you can find out, you know, you can see what's going on, and you have your contacts or links to whatever you need to know. Or if you want to go directly to the board, it's bsandbeer.activeboard.com. And I know it's going to be slow going until we get people on there. We're going to try to post on there after a show during the week. It's a way for us to continue contact and exposure with the people who listen to the show and maintain a dialogue and a relationship with you guys and be able to share thoughts. And you post something on the board, then we can discuss it during the show. So it's just another way for us to keep contact and dialogue with the people who we're interacting with, which is you guys listening to the show. So, you know, here's one more time. I'm going to give you the number to the podcast, the graffiti hotline, 857-957-1997. And you can give us a call. We love doing that because it kind of gives you a chance to be on the show, too. You get your voice on our show. But if you prefer not to do that and it's easier, maybe at work or something where you don't have the access to a phone and talking, just post on our board and we can interact with you that way. So, but anyway, it's time for our pick'em contest.
Yep.
Here we go.
So here's our pick segment. I decided to start with the two greatest picks in Saints history.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40. And John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line.
I love every time I hear those. I mean, especially the one, I don't know why it is that the call against the Vikings gives me like goosebumps. You know, you would think the Super Bowl call is even, but for whatever it is I can't believe what I'm seeing here.
Yeah.
It's more, I guess, listening to the disappointment
right.
of the condescending, and I can't remember his name, but the commentator who did that call. If you heard all the stuff leading up to the game, he's very condescending, very much like, well, we're the better team, and as long as we play well, the Saints can't beat us, and all of a sudden it's like, I can't believe what I'm seeing here.
Yeah.
Anyway, love it. Love it. All right, so are you guys ready? Have you done your study? Are you prepared with the statistics, the analysis, everything that you need to, I just realized, to pull yourselves out of the bottom end of... We got like 50 people in the league now.
Yeah, that's good. I know.
Yeah, and I know I got 7, so I'm down there. Like I'm at like 14, although 14 tied with like 10 other people.
Right, right,
so
right.
So down at the bottom, I got to make up some ground. So the first game of the week, the Buffalo Bills. Actually, the New York Giants at Buffalo. That's the game
Jets.
Tonight.
Jets.
Jets. What did I say? Did I say Giants?
Yeah.
Oh, those are the guys getting their butts kicked this weekend.
By the Saints. That's
by
right.
By the Saints. Yeah. Okay. So
this is the other New York team. The other New Jersey
Jets
team.
And Buffalo Bills.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's even now.
Yep. It's a pick 'em.
It's a pick 'em game.
I'm going with the Jets.
I'm going with Buffalo.
Going with Buffalo. I'm going with the Jets tonight. All right. Moving on. We got Baltimore at Cleveland. And 6 points. Yeah. Cleveland's getting at home. I mean, if that's not a slap in the face, that's like, you are not very good. Swack.
Yeah. It's called reality, Dave.
Tomas, you go first, buddy.
Ravens.
Going Ravens?
Yeah. Ravens.
Ravens, okay. We got a clean sweep. Baltimore it is for me. Okay, moving on. We got Tennessee at
Detroit.
At Detroit, Gary's team, 5.5 points Tennessee's getting.
Yeah.
What say you, Heath?
I say it's not enough. I got the Lions.
Lions.
Ditto.
Ditto. It looks like it's Gary's team gets a clean sweep. Sweep. All right. So then we got Miami, who I thought played very well.
Yeah.
I mean, if our boy Kenny Stills comes up with that long deep ball catch that he dropped.
If it was a skiff, we'd all go fishing.
Yeah, or what's the thing? And we'd have a Merry Christmas. Okay. But Miami at New England. And New England, again, without the star quarterback, Tom Brady. But Miami is getting 6.5 points at New England. What say you, Tomas?
I go back to what he said earlier. Not enough.
Not enough.
I got to go with New England at home.
Yeah.
You agree?
Yeah, I'm going with New England,
too. Okay, well, I'm going to go in a second. And I already have my picks made, but I switched it over.
You did.
Miami with 6.5 points without Tom Brady. I'm going to see what New England is made of without a superstar quarterback. And I like the way that Miami played in Seattle on Sunday. So I'm going with Miami.
Yeah, it was tempting at 6.5, but I'm going to stick with the Patriots.
All right, so next game we're going to go Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. Cincinnati getting 3 points at the Berg.
Not enough.
Not
I
enough
got the
for
Steelers,
you?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm sorry for my friend Leo, but I got to go with the Steelers.
You got to go
with
Steelers. You know, I don't understand this league. I've never the why you don't have a half a point. Like, all you're doing is asking for a tie. You know, so
right.
So
well,
I think
some of them there's half points here. And
yeah, you know, anyway, strange. But I'm going to, you know, I got Ben Roethlisberger as my quarterback in fantasy because Tomas took Breeze. No, you
always.
Didn't. Did you? Yeah. Okay, that's what I thought. All right, so I got to go with Pittsburgh.
You know, interestingly, with the 3 points, as you know, the old thing is what they're saying there is on a neutral site, this is an even game.
Right.
I don't see it that way, not the way Pittsburgh's playing right now.
Yeah. I agree. I agree.
Anyway.
So I'm going Pittsburgh myself. Okay, next one, we got Dallas at Washington. 2.5 points to Dallas. Tomas.
I'm going to take those 2.5 and take the Cowgirls.
Yeah.
Yeehaw!
Yep. As much as I hate to go for the Cowboys ever in any kind of way, I'm taking the Cowboys too.
I like this. I'm going Washington. Oh I know that's
God.
Not their thing. That might have been politically incorrect, but that's what I'm going with.
Racist.
Washington.
Yeah.
I'm
you can't say
take
Redskins.
The home team, give up the 2.5 points. I watched the Dallas game twice because, you know, obviously they were playing the Giants. And I'm going to upset my buddy Leo, who thinks Dak Prescott is. And you know what? He very well could be because he actually did look pretty good in the short passing
game.
Oh,
he may well be. You know, he's still a rookie.
And
he's
going
to have good games, and then he's going to have bad games, you know.
And I thought he looked pretty good. I was surprised how well, and I don't know if this is something the Saints should be nervous about, how poorly they ran the ball. But that could be because they had a rookie quarterback. They let him have the little short stuff passing.
Right.
And they said, we're not going to let you run the ball. But either way, I think that Washington giving up 2.5, I'm going with them. So the next one, San Francisco at Carolina.
Yeah.
13 points.
Yeah.
13 points.
Now, 13 points is a lot in the NFL, you know. And because of that, and I'm going with the 49ers, actually, in this one.
Going with the 49ers. And Colin Kaepernick, the best backup quarterback, most popular backup quarterback in the league.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Tomas.
This is a hard one for me because I don't particularly like Carolina. I can't envision taking Carolina.
Did I mention I can't stand Carolina and Cam Newton?
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I still don't like San Francisco.
Yeah.
But I'm with Heath. I always say that. I'm with Heath in that it's a question of the 13 points.
Right.
Yeah, that's
if
a lot.
If it were 10
points,
I'd say, okay, I'd probably still take Carolina. But at 13,
yeah,
I think I got to go with the 49ers.
Golly. Okay, so I got to tell you guys, you know, this, while very interesting to me, I have a pick'em league that I've been in for years, and they allow you to pick one team or another or the over and under. In this game, it's going to be a challenge to figure out what I'm going to actually do in that league. This one, I only have a choice of picking one team or another. I can't see San Francisco, especially after what I saw on Monday night against Los Angeles. It's hard to say right now. Los Angeles Rams. I mean, they were pretty pathetic. And Carolina, you know, is a team that went to the Super Bowl, that they're going to be fired up to win this game at home. 13 points is a lot of points, and I'm just procrastinating. Ah,
yeah,
geez.
Come on. Go ahead and pick. Go ahead and pick your buddy Camafed.
I cannot pick Camafed and Carolina, but I want to win this league just to show my pick'em prowess.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to go with Carolina as much as that. Okay, I threw up in my mouth a little bit just by saying that.
I certainly have Carolina winning this game. I'm almost always going to take the 13 points on.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, man. I agree with you. Okay, so next up, Kansas City at Houston. Tomas, what do you say? You got Houston is getting 2.5 points. I'm sorry, Kansas City is getting two and a half points.
Yep, but I think Kansas City is showing the effects of losing coaches and players. And so I'm going to go with Houston.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, despite the comeback win from Kansas City last week, now you got to go on the road at Houston. I'm taking Houston and giving up the 2.5.
I got to tell you something. Houston is my darling. I don't know why. I've never really been a fan of them. I always felt like the Saints and Houston were in competition. Even the year I remember the Saints won the Super Bowl, we played them preseason. And, again, back to their play-by-play guy. Had a pregame discussion with Jim Henderson, and he's very like, obviously we're a little bit more advanced than you guys, and so I've just never liked them. Having said that, their defense is beastly, and their offense is productive.
I wonder who has the Houston defense in our.
It's not me. It's not me. It's you.
Oh, it could be.
It could be. Okay. I gave you a little kudos there. I'm going to go ahead and take Houston and give up that 2.5 points.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Seattle versus, what I saw was a pathetic attempt at offense by the Rams. And that vaunted defense and that front seven was, I know Donaldson. Is it Donald? Donaldson? What the Donaldson. Defensive tackle?
Donald.
Donald.
Donaldson's a baseball player.
Right? I know. I heard of him.
I said it last week. I don't know if it was on air or off air, but I called him Donaldson too, and then I realized.
Yeah, so that's where I got it from.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a beast. I mean, and he's not a huge guy. He's just like he's so quick. Anyway.
Yeah.
We're not going to make 8:30 if you keep procrastinating.
Yeah, well. Okay. Tomas, what do you got there?
What game are we talking about?
Seattle
now?
Or...
Oh, my God. All that talking. Come on.
3.5 points.
I can't take the Lambs. They were just lame, so I got to go with Seattle.
Yeah.
Seattle's easy
I got
choice.
Seattle, yeah.
Yeah, me too. Okay. Then we got Tampa Bay at Arizona, and it looks like Tampa Bay is getting 6.5 points.
That's correct.
Yeah, you know, wow. This was a tough one for me. Ultimately, I went with Arizona. Might live to regret that one, but go ahead. What you got, Tomas?
Same thing, Arizona.
You know what? I don't know why. I guess maybe because the media has been talking about them so much. I keep feeling like Tampa Bay is the team. But they've been saying this for 3 years, but I'm still believing it. I think Tampa Bay, they fared well against a pretty weak Atlanta team. But 6.5 points, I'll take those 6.5 points. I think they'll be competitive, although I think they'll lose.
Yeah.
They'll be competitive, and I'll take the points in Tampa Bay. Okay, Indianapolis at Denver. 6 points Indianapolis is getting. Tomas.
Going Denver.
Denver.
Giving up the points.
Yeah, at home, I'm going Denver too.
All right, I agree with that. Indianapolis has looked I like the direction they're going. And it was funny with the quarterback that Denver has. I don't even know who the guy is. He actually looked pretty solid.
Yeah.
I think that's all they need to be one of the better teams in the league. Atlanta at Oakland. Atlanta is getting 4.5 points.
Yeah, not enough. I'm going with Oakland.
Yep, I'm feeling the same way. I think Atlanta's going to be toast.
I feel like Atlanta may be one of those 4-12 teams this year. Yeah. I don't know why. I haven't watched them closely. Just something about them just says 4 wins, 5 wins to me. Yeah. I'm going with Oakland as well. It'll be interesting to see the result of this, and you kind of find out, did the Saints go up? What if Oakland ends up being like a 11-win team? Because they are a young, up-and-coming, talented team.
Yeah. I think coming into this season, most people thought Oakland, anything less than 10 wins in a playoff would be a disappointment for Oakland this year.
All
right. And after seeing what their offense did against the Saints, playing at home, I don't think there's any way Atlanta goes out to Oakland and stays within 4.5 points of them.
I agree. All right, Jacksonville at San Diego. 3 points to Jacksonville. Tomas.
I'm going to take the points with Jacksonville and pick them.
I was tempted to go that way, but I'm going to go San Diego at home in this one.
San Diego at home. Damn it. I missed that. Oakland is my stone cold lead pipe block of the week. I missed it.
You missed it.
Damn it. Okay.
Yep. Nobody but embraces the lead yet. Pipe like you, Dave.
There you go.
I can't pass up my opportunity to get my stone cold lead pipe.
All right.
All right. Jacksonville, San Diego. I got Jacksonville. I'll take the 3 at San Diego. San Diego lost their best receiver this past weekend.
Yep.
I just think that they're the team to go with. Now we got Green Bay at Minnesota. Minnesota getting 2 points at home.
Yeah, not enough. I'm going to go with the Packers.
Yeah, I've thought about this one, and even if they start a different quarterback, I still got to go with Green Bay.
You know what? Minnesota surprised me this past weekend.
They did, yeah.
Having said that, will the Green Bay offense give up 2 offensive touchdowns because the quarterback is goofy and makes mistakes?
Right.
That's – okay, I'm changing that pick. I'm going with Green Bay.
There you go.
I'm going with Green Bay. Then we have Philadelphia at Chicago. Philadelphia getting 3 points against that vaunted Chicago – never mind, against Chicago.
Yeah.
Heath.
You know, I – this was one of the tougher picks for me to try to decide which way to go on this one. At the end of the day, though, I'm going to go with the Bears at home in this one.
Well, I'm going the other way. I'm going to go with Philly in the points.
Yeah.
Philly in the points.
Wentz played well last week. Yeah, he's a rookie, though. It could be a good game, bad game kind of thing. Going on the road, I'm going to stick with Chicago in that one.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to go with Philadelphia and take the points. I don't know why. I just don't like Chicago. I don't like the quarterback. just not a thing.
Like Chicago either, but we've kept picking against the spread here. So
I feel you. And here we go. New Orleans at the Giants, 4.5 points. What say you, Tomas? Are we going 1-1? We going, and we got the spread to contend with, but are we going 0-2?
In our first time of picking the schedule games, I said we would lose to Oakland, but that we would beat the Giants. I'm going to stay with that. I'm going to take my Saints, and we'll take our points. We don't need them, but we're going to take them anyway, and we're going to beat the Giants.
I like it.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep, total homer alert here. I'm taking the Saints and the points.
You know what? Here's what I like about Tomas's picks. If you go back to the beginning of the season, we end up with 11 wins. So however we get there, if you listen, so far Tomas is right on point. And I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna pick New Orleans because first of all, in this Pick'em League, with the points, I feel good about it.
Right.
But I feel without the points, I feel it's just a toss-up game. If the Saints make more plays and get a turnover, somehow or another, find one or two little plays in the game that change the momentum, they will be
feel like even if they come up short, they safe with the 4.5 because I feel like this is a field goal game either way.
Agreed. You know? So I think that
I did it again.
What'd you do?
I didn't press the save in time, and so
You missed out on
missed on a second week in a row. Missed on a damn Thursday night game.
Okay, well thank you for doing that, because it gives me a chance, it reminds me to tell everyone, just so you're aware, as a commissioner of the league, I do not have the ability to change picks after the game has been played. Last week, Tomas did pick Denver, but because he didn't get it in 5 minutes before the game, he didn't get the pick. I cannot, just so that you know. Now, us three are not, me, Tomas, and Heath, are not eligible to win the prize, $100 grand prize.
Wait, what? I didn't realize that. What the hell am I doing here?
I have to get you guys to sign something.
Yeah.
But I do not have the ability to go back and change any pick. So anything that you put in there.
So I'm going with one game less, and I'm still going to win this week. There
well,
you, go.
You know what? That's right. The thing. We're playing for our pride and dignity. That's that might correct. Not mean much. But we're playing for it anyway.
That's right.
Anyway, any final thoughts, Tomas?
I think that we're going to do okay this weekend. Let's see how it goes. Might be surprised, but we didn't talk a little bit about the two new defensive backs, but we'll see how it goes, you know?
Heath?
Yeah, you know, they're going to have to get, you know, same thing, right? Get pressure on a quarterback, try to help out the defensive backs a little bit in this game. They can do that. They got a shot at winning.
Yep. I'm really encouraged with the offensive line play and the offense in general. I think that the Saints offense will be able to score on just about anybody. Obviously, some teams they'll score more than others. But against any average team that doesn't have a dominant top five defense, we're going to be competitive against. And I think this weekend the Saints, I think they'll be able to hold up. I think they'll give up plays. But I think all in all, again, right where we want to be, and I don't know. I feel good about this game. I just feel something different than I have in the past. I still think the Saints can be competitive and win this game. So anyway, I guess for Tomas Mauricio, Heath Elson-san, I'm Dave Romero. This has been the BS and Beer Podcast. Good luck on your picks, and we will talk to you on Monday.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists. Writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.